Getting mad at them and arguing with them is very rarely going to do anything other than make them just want to go to the next door, you know?
Yes.
But I just want to be the person that says, hey, tell me your name. Where are you from? Are you enjoying your time here? Yeah, I would love to have a conversation. Maybe I can't have a conversation right now, but when can we have a conversation, you know? And sit down and just really begin to unfold what they believe and then what I believe.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Halfway to Sunday, a weekly conversation with your friends. I am your host, Jill Camacho. I am a writer, ministry leader, Bible teacher, and super passionate about people knowing they are loved by God. In today's episode, we are joined by writer, pastor, and professor Jeremy Jenkins as we talk about the importance of engaging people of different faiths. Jeremy is the executive director of All Things, All People, an organization that explores and teaches about various world religions for the purpose of spreading the gospel. We dig into the importance of curiosity and building relationships with the people we serve and talk to through love, respect, and truth. But before we get to all of that, I just wanted to remind you that we have even more content and resources over on Patreon. This is exclusive access for our friends who want to be part of our core community, where we share bonus videos, Bible study tools, and additional conversations. So if you want to be a part of the DM squad, the brunch crew, or the prayer circle, join us on Patreon. And with that, let's jump right into our conversation with Jeremy Jenkins. Jeremy Jenkins, I am so excited for you to join us here on Halfway to Sunday. And as you know, we start each episode with Tell Me Something Good. So Jeremy, before we get into introductions, what is bringing you joy this week?
Well, thanks for having me, Jill. I'm excited to have a conversation with you. I live in Western North Carolina. I'm currently in Western Virginia right now, and I'm in the basement Airbnb of my brother-in-law's house. We're visiting my brother-in-law and sister-in-law after the birth 2 weeks ago. They're first little baby.
Oh,
and so upstairs right now is baby Colt. And so we're visiting with them and getting some much desired time with the baby Colt. And so that's above all things, probably right now, the biggest joy. I know my wife's upstairs right now holding him, and that's her brother. And so it's her first biological nephew. And so it's, tough to beat that.
Yes. Well, congratulations to them and to all of you. Fun. Yeah. Hilariously, what's bringing me joy this week is it was very similar. It's family time. My sister lives in Oregon, and she was down visiting this week, and it was just so fun. I am one of five kids, and so when we're together, honestly, we're a bunch of idiots, but it's really fun. We think we're hilarious. You know, old, you know, family jokes come into play, but it was so fun to be together as a family. So I love that for you guys as well.
Yeah.
So again, congratulations to all of them.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so Jeremy, I'm really, really excited that you're joining us. You have helped me learn so much about connecting maybe some dots that I didn't know were disconnected previously. Mm. And so, Jeremy, I would love for you to introduce yourself a little bit. What we know is you are a writer, you are a pastor, you are a professor, and you are exploring the dark places of the world, but also the United States, just to bring the gospel to that. So What am I missing?
That pretty much in a general sense covers everything. Well, I would suppose what most people outside of my circle of influence in day-to-day life know me as is the executive director of All Things, All People, which is a ministry I founded in 2019, right before the pandemic, and then really began to hone in during the pandemic. All Things, All People exists to explore the darkest places and least reached peoples, especially in the United States, to engage them with the gospel. My specialty academically, and then also just like passionately, like what I like to do, is studying and teaching other religions, what we would typically call world religions. And I know we'll get into that a little bit. So, but what that has led me to is just doing everything I can to continue to learn as much as I can about other religions and places and peoples that have, for whatever reason, bought into and believed worldviews and viewpoints, belief systems, religions, faith that are counter to what we see in the Word of God. And so, so with that, we do some teaching, traveling and speaking, writing, partnering with churches, all sorts of things, all with the aim to help people learn how to engage people from other faiths with the gospel. My day-to-day job, all things all people, is more and more, takes up a lot of my time, but I'm a pastor at Element Church in Forest City, North Carolina, which is about an hour west of Charlotte. And then from time to time, less and less as every year goes by, I teach at Gardner-Webb University, which is a small Christian liberal arts school here in Western North Carolina. And then, yeah, like you mentioned, travel and write and speak and all those things that the Lord's privileged me with the opportunity to do. I have two small kids who are 12 and 7. And then, my wonderful wife, Courtney. And so I try and balance out the travel and the speaking. But yeah, so that's kind of me in a nutshell. And that's, I think, what people who follow me on Instagram, probably that's what they see, I suppose.
Yeah, you guys seem very busy. Your wife also runs a ministry. You guys are working a lot on just building the kingdom in very different ways.
Yeah.
Jeremy, I'd love for you to speak to a little bit how you got into what interested you, what attracted you to understanding world religion and helping others to understand it.
Yeah, it goes all the way back to really when I was a kid, especially a teenager. I grew up in Wheaton, Illinois, which is about an hour outside of Chicago. And so I grew up in a part of the country where I went to school with kids who were from, you know, vastly different ethnic backgrounds than me, religious backgrounds than me. And then, of course, being in the city of Chicago a lot, and my dad was a truck driver. And so I spent a lot of my adolescence driving around with him, and I would see temples and other faiths. I would see churches of Scientology. I would see mosques and all these things. And those things always really interested me. But I became a Christian when I was a freshman in high school. And anybody who knows anything about Wheaton, Illinois, it's where Wheaton College is. It's a very, there, especially in a fairly, I don't know, I don't want to say non-Christian part of the country, but it's not the Bible Belt by any means. But Wheaton sort of has a Bible Belt feel to it. And so I grew up in a Christian part of the world and then became a Christian early in my teenage years. And I always felt like, you know, I would drive past some of these places and I was always curious, just like, what's going on in there? What does that look like in there? What do those people believe? And I kind of grew up with the same feeling that I think a lot of evangelical Christians feel, which is like, it's a bad thing to be curious about other faiths. And I certainly don't think everybody feels that way, but I know that I felt that way. And a lot of people that I've talked to felt that way. And then I went to Liberty University for my bachelor's degree, and I received a bachelor's degree in religion. Didn't study world religions as part of my religion degree, which is a problem in and of itself. But I studied the Bible and became a youth pastor in Western North Carolina, where I live now. And I, you know, went from living in, you know, metropolitan Chicago area to rural North Carolina, where there wasn't that same, like, really diverse population. But I got a job, as a lot of youth pastors do. I was bivocational, and I got a job in the school system where I was working, and I began to rub elbows with a particular student who I became very good friends with, still to this day. We keep up. And he was a Hindu. His family was from India. And despite the fact, you know, we were in the public school system, I wasn't openly sharing the gospel or anything, given the restrictions there, but I just wanted as best as I could to sort of like understand where he was coming from. But I knew nothing about Hinduism. Right. And so I started studying it for the sake of understanding, you know, like, how does he understand the world? And why was it so hard for me and him to have a conversation about spirituality? And so I began to study Hinduism, and I became really, really passionate about that. Like, really, really passionate about understanding, why do they have such different answers to these important questions?
Right.
Why does it that, like, it seems like every topic I would talk to somebody from a Hindu background, why is it that, like, it's almost like we're speaking a different language? And I sort of found out, because we really are. And and that led me to really becoming passionate about understanding as much of the religious world as I could. And that led me down a path of, you know, going back and getting a master's. I received a master's in intercultural studies from Columbia International University, which is a very missional school. And then it led me to the work that I was doing with All Things All People. And it also really led me to the conviction that, like, for me, even in rural North Carolina, it's very easy, if you're from a part of the country like where I live, it's very easy to think that, like, oh, everybody here's a Christian. But right. I began to figure out that that wasn't true. Not only is not everybody a Christian, but there's actually a lot of people, whether they're from a different part of the world or even they're from here, but they have bought into something other than Christianity. They believe something right. else. And so the Lord really opened my eyes to that, fueled that passion to study those other viewpoints and religions, and then just do something with it. And that's kind of what led me to, you know, everything that I do now.
I'm so interested in this side of your story, because what I hear you say is that you felt freedom to be curious. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like this is the theme of Halfway to Sunday, I feel like, this past year, of just like, God doesn't shut down curiosity. Yeah. And so I wondered if you'd speak to a little bit, as you were making this new friendship that believed something completely different than you, although yeah. I'm curious, you said was, so I'm curious if he...
To this day, I mean, that particular young man is not a believer. We have a good friendship. You know, but no, it's probably a good example of the fact that, like, you know, ultimately salvation is in the hands of the Lord. And yes. so, but that young man knows that he knows what I believe, and he knows I love him dearly. He knows what I believe about him, and, you know, that the Lord loves him dearly.
Right.
And we just continue to keep up with each other to this day.
I love that. So that's an important point in what you said. You mm-hmm. love him right where he's at.
Yeah.
That you don't shy away from the truth of the conversations, of course, and mm-hmm. you dig in, and you cared enough, loved him enough to get curious about yeah. his beliefs.
Yeah.
So Jeremy, I was wondering if you could speak to that curiosity, mm-hmm. where that stemmed from in your childhood, yes, but also yeah. how you carried that forward in your faith.
So this is sort of a hallmark of, like, a lot of conversations that I get to have like this, where people sort of, I think, whether they have felt that same thing or they grew up maybe the same way, where they, for whatever reason, you know, were discouraged from curiosity about other faith. I think some of that stems, if I'm being honest, from an insecurity that Christians mm-hmm. feel, especially maybe church leadership and things like that, where maybe they've seen so many people who start with a curiosity about another faith and it leads them down a path where, like, maybe they walk away from Christianity.
Right.
And of course, that is a fairly common tale. What I began to feel, though, was, you know, I was youth pastor for 7 years. And that was while all this kind of, like, curiosity was springing up. And I was getting asked questions, like, all the mm-hmm. time, even before I became the world religions guy, you know, like, right. you know, I was getting questions from students all the time about, like, well, what does this person believe? What does this group believe? How do we make sense of the gospel in light of that?
Right.
And so what I figured out was, I was like, I don't think that the Lord takes joy or wants his people to be naive and to be yeah. uneducated on what these other worldviews and religions and faiths are saying. Yeah. And I felt like, you know, hey, if the Lord's given me this curiosity and this passion, there is a way to go about that in yeah. a righteous and God-honoring way. I'll usually be the first one to say, like, there is a way to do it, and it to not be healthy, and it to not be, I've seen a lot of people,
right.
Unfortunately, it seems like a lot of them, you know, sometimes even follow me on Instagram or reach out to me, and I've even cautioned some people, like, hey, I don't want anybody to become obsessed or fetishize the study of other faiths so much so that they really are missing the mark about what it means to follow Christ and to keep yeah. your eyes fixed on him. But for me, what it meant was, I felt like the Lord was giving me freedom to begin a study and begin a survey of these other faiths for the purpose of helping other Christians understand what these other faiths were saying, and then even more importantly, how to communicate the gospel to them. And so I think that, you know, in Christ, we're all free. And Paul writes quite a bit about that freedom. You know, hey, you're free in all things, but not all right. things are beneficial. And so I sort of ventured out on this journey of saying, well, hey, is there a way to exercise that freedom, but still be beneficial to the kingdom and still yeah. be beneficial to my relationship with the Lord? And I'll also make sure to say, too, because it does help people understand, kind of, my heart is like, I'm surrounded by a community. Like I already mentioned, I'm a pastor and I have a board at All Things All People. And I have people who are always lifting us up in prayer who, you know, if I were to ever begin to emphasize things in a way or begin to become so exploratory and adventurous that I was maybe being spiritually reckless or irresponsible, you know, there's people who I'm open to that accountability there. And so, so that curiosity was really the beginning for me. And then feeling free to venture out and to be curious and to learn more for the purposes of expanding the kingdom was a pretty big watershed moment in my life that's led me to now, you know, having this conversation with you and so many others like it.
It's so interesting because I was about to ask, you know, thinking about our friends listening who maybe want to understand, okay, why is this even important? Why do I need to understand? And you really did answer it right now is just to share the gospel.
Yeah.
But how would you help us understand the importance of that understanding of this particular belief and how we match that in love and grace and truth? Mm-hmm. What does that tension look like as you help people understand that?
So specifically like in sharing the gospel, like with people from other faiths?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in missions, in the world of missions, there's this concept that you'll hear career missionaries talk about, or especially like mission strategists talk about, and they call it contextualization. And it's the idea that, you know, if me and you were to become missionaries to a remote tribe in South America, everything about their life is different. The way they interpret reality is different. Where they think all things came from, where they think all things are going, the way that they operate morally. If me and you take our Western American understanding of scripture and the way that we do everything, and we go with the gospel to them, and all we do is export everything that we do here to there, it won't make sense. And so mission strategists and missiologists would say that you need to do everything you can to take the unadulterated message of the gospel. So you don't change the gospel. You just change how you communicate it. So one good example that I tell people is there's a great little book called The 3D Gospel by a missiologist named Jason Georges. And for listeners who are interested in missiology, I'd say that's a great place to start. It's like 88 pages. It's a very fast read. But what Georges says is that in the world, there's three predominant worldviews. There's guilt, innocence, there's fear, power, and there's shame, honor. So a lot of Asian cultures might sort of understand morality through what we might call a shame, honor lens, the idea that they're avoiding bringing shame to their family or to a larger collective unit, and they're trying to establish honor for that same unit. In the West, we would predominantly be considered a guilt, innocence culture. And the way that you can understand that is like the highest ideals in Western society is, you know, not only is it being a law-abiding citizen, but even a lot of our theological constructs, things like justification, we typically explain justification with a courtroom setting. So if me and you were to go to that South American tribe and we were trying to explain what it means to be made righteous in the eyes of God, and we said, now imagine you're in a courtroom and there's a judge sitting on a seat that's higher than you, they wouldn't, not only would they not understand it, they don't have the construct to understand it. And so what you would need to do then is first you need to understand, okay, well, how do they see the world? And this is maybe where things like anthropology come into play. And so that's kind of the way I think about it. My heart with All Things All People was not everybody can go get an anthropology degree. Not everybody needs to even really be familiar with anthropology. They just need to understand that not everybody sees and experiences the world and truth and morality the same way as them. And if they just stop when they're talking to their Hindu friend or their Muslim friend or whatever, and they just first, before they try and even communicate the gospel, they just really first try and understand, how can I most effectively communicate with this person? Yeah. Because they've had a different set of experiences. Their family life's different. They understand morality different. They understand God or deity or lack thereof different. And so it's really just, it's a huge concept, but I sort of live and operate under this conviction that it's easy to learn the skill to try and learn the person in front of you. And that also builds a relationship in which it's more effective to share the gospel. And so I don't know if any of that makes sense, Jill, but I mean, but that's kind of where it all comes from for me.
Yeah, no, that's so good. It's so interesting that the past couple of years, I feel like my driving maybe principle as I talk to people who don't believe like I do is how can I love this person right in front of me?
Yeah.
The best. And that doesn't mean shying away from truth. That doesn't mean that I ignore it. But what would it look like to love the person right in front of me in a way that honors them first and foremost, but also points them to Jesus, points them to truth? And what I hear you say that a lot of, I mean, the purpose of all things, all people is to give dignity and honor to whoever you're talking to while also pointing them to truth. And so I love the mission of all things, all people. I've followed for years, but it actually has helped me so much as I navigate even maybe untangling some of my old previous beliefs in the way I grew up in my family of origin. And it's funny, I was going through our Instagram message because I asked for, you had a list of scriptures that you used when you engage with different religions, one of them being the LDS faith.
Yeah.
And I remember going, hey, Jeremy, do you have a list of these? And you created this list, and I still have every one of those scriptures marked in my Bible in the same color, not to prove anyone wrong, but because I want to be armed with truth, but also armed with what's helpful in a conversation and how to love that person best. And so I'd love for you, if you would, to kind of speak to the person who is maybe nervous or scared when somebody comes to their door or when they happen to run into somebody in a public space. How would you encourage someone to not be worried or scared, but to be armed with truth, but also just that love and respect and dignity as well?
Yeah. Well, I would tell people who, whether they want, you know, there's some people who are just gifted with an evangelist's heart. And then there's, you know, kind of the rest of us. And I actually am usually quick to tell people like I'm not. I work with a lot of men and women who are just really, really spiritually gifted as evangelists. And that's really not me. So what I tell people from my own experience is that when I come across somebody who, for whatever, you know, they're not a believer, whether they're non-religious or whether they are very devoted to another faith, the biggest thing that I want to do is I just want to learn the person in front of me. And so one of the things that I include in a lot of the books that I write and a lot of the content that I put out is just simply put, just ask good questions. And what I have found is that for somebody who is nervous about evangelism, you know, maybe they've grown up in a church setting or a ministry setting where there's things like Romans Road or Three Circles or, you know, tools, which like the tools are fantastic. I know somebody who came to Christ through having Romans Road presented to them. But I found that even though the fact like I'm a very comfortable speaker and obviously like I know quite a bit about these other faiths, is like even I sometimes am like, oh good, you know, what do I say to this person? Like how do I, and we sort of turn it into like a game of chess if we're not careful. It's like, well, they said this, what do I say to counter that?
Right.
And
yes.
What I tell people is, hey, stop, take a breath and just say, I really want to get to know this person in front of me. I want to ask good questions about what they believe. The other reason why that's important is that like 99% of the time, I can be sitting in front of a Latter-day Saint, a Hindu, a Muslim, and I've read books upon books upon books about those different faiths. But the person who's sitting in front of me is not accurately or appropriately represented by what I've read in those books. They differ somehow, or they're insecure about some of those beliefs, or, you know, who knows, like, and you know, and you said you came out of the Latter-day Saint faith, like, so you know that there's varying levels of devotion even in some of these faiths that go door to door. And so I would just tell people, hey, stop and just get to know this person and ask good questions.
Yeah,
ask like,
good.
You know, hey, when you think about God, what do you think he's like? Where do you think all things came from? Where do you think all things are going? How do you think we tell the difference between good and bad or good and evil? How do we know what's true? And these are questions that probably Christians need to reflect on more. I think that the big reason why we feel so ill-equipped as evangelists is that we sit in pews or chairs every Sunday and we have the truth told to us and we believe it, but we've never even really wrestled with some of the answers to the questions that we feel like we need to ask the person at our door. And so I would tell somebody who's interested in this or nervous about it and just knows that, hey, this is something I need to become more familiar with, is like, you know, you were talking about that list that you have highlighted in your Bible. I would say go find a list like that. You know, our website has some of those lists.
Yeah.
And I would say go and study those scriptures, not for the sake of developing an apologetics base, But for the sake of really beginning to ascertain what is true and what is not. And then you're going to feel a lot more comfortable talking to people who believe things other than you because you really know what you believe. And, you know, like I mentioned a couple of times, I was a youth pastor, and I find that adults think that they're much further along than teenagers, but they're really not, you know. And I think if we were being really honest, most of the 30 and 40 and 50 and 60 year olds in the church today probably don't know as much as they do, as they think they do, or maybe as much as they should. And they're not in the word that much. And I would say to that, I would just say, man, the best way to see and experience and understand how to converse with people who've bought into counterfeit truths is to familiarize yourself with the actual truth first and foremost. And you'll feel a lot more comfortable in engaging in conversations, no matter who you're talking to.
That's so good. I think that honestly, it brings us back to curiosity. Mm-hmm. Anytime you let fear drive, it's usually a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
It usually
for sure.
brings you to a place of insecurity.
Yeah.
Or even worse, the insecurity could fuel anger, pride, all of those things that make you really uncomfortable to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Part of my faith story is as a best friend who never gave up on me, who had conversations that honestly, I'm sure she thought, okay, maybe she will follow Jesus. Maybe she will. But like, it was never her goal to convert me. It was never her goal to prove me wrong. And in fact, it took me a lot of years before it was my time to accept Jesus, yes, but also to start walking down that path of faith. And she was always my friend. And so I love that you start with, how can I get to know this person?
Mm-hmm.
Again, honoring them from where they're coming from, but then pointing them to truth or knowing what you believe so wholeheartedly that it just comes into conversation.
Yeah. In the example too, I think the one that probably is most familiar for you and then so many others, you know, you and I both know like that really in the world of religions, there's not that many Latter-day Saints. There's a lot of religious groups that are bigger than Latter-day Saints. But in our part of the world right now, there seems to be sort of like a fascination right now with Latter-day Saints, whether it's like TV shows that are kind of putting their lives on screen or also just like because they come to our door, you know, like they actually come to us. And so I get questions about Latter-day Saints more than most groups. And I tell people all the time, you know, hey, there is a group of guys at my church who one of us is almost always in conversation with our local LDS missionaries. You know, our area, just like every other area, has two Latter-day Saint missionaries assigned to it. And those Latter-day Saint missionaries, you know, they know people from Element Church because we reach out to them. We schedule meetings with them. We hang out with them. We have theological conversations with them. But we've also taken those guys golfing. Like, we just hung out with them. You know, and like, and they really like us, I think, more often than not. You know, it changes every time. You know, there's always, they're moving in and out.
There's a rotation,
yeah. Yeah, but so it can be really tough to maintain relationship. But like, we know those guys and they know us and they know that we don't agree with their view of scripture and theology, but they don't feel like we hate them. And you know, we've made sure that they understand it's like, hey, Element is never going to slam the door in your face.
Yeah.
And that's really helped us foster relationship that we can continue to speak truth into them and give them room to maybe ask some questions they've never asked before.
Yeah,
and,
that's good.
And so, I would just say, learn the person in front of you. And you mentioned the two polar opposites of the insecurity, which I think you're spot on, is it usually, and it's really well demonstrated by the missionary at your door, whether it's Latter-day Saint or JW, is that usually people take one of two paths. Either they'll just slam the door in their face and say, I don't want what you have to sell, or they just argue with them. And I'm like, you know, there is a missionary training center in Provo, Utah, that teaches them how to have those arguments. The getting mad at them and arguing with them is very rarely going to do anything other than make them just want to go to the next door, you know?
Yes.
But I just want to be the person that says, hey, tell me your name. Where are you from? Are you enjoying your time here? Yeah, I would love to have a conversation. Maybe I can't have a conversation right now, but when can we have a conversation, you know, and sit down and just really begin to unfold what they believe and then what I believe. And, you know, we're not respecting their beliefs by respecting them. And we're not loving their beliefs by loving them. We are, as Peter said, you know, we are having a response and giving a reason for the hope that is in us in gentleness and love.
Hey, everybody, just a quick note to tell you we have more over on Patreon. Join the Halfway to Sunday community for an extended cut of this conversation and more. And so what I hear you say, and what I'm hopeful that our friends listening will take away from this, is that curiosity, yes, but also who they see, the person behind the religion, the person behind these beliefs that are not like our own. So what would be maybe your final blessing or just exhortation to the person listening who really does want to love people well while holding on to truth, and also like some tools that maybe you have for them that would be helpful as they get started?
So, you know, when you tell me about that moment with your small group, I think sometimes it's very easy to be discouraged at the mention of like, hey, they didn't come to Christ. And I think sometimes when we talk about evangelism and missions, it becomes like a zero-sum game to where it's difficult for believers to extrapolate meaning from evangelism that doesn't end in conversion. And this is what I would say to that. And this is what I would say to the listener who, you know, no matter where they're at in their walk with Christ, this is something that they've thought about. Is what I would say is there was a win in that room. And it wasn't just about those two LDS missionaries. Because it was probably, when we're in a room with just people who believe what we believe, there's a koinonia, a Holy Spirit connection because of agreement. And any time that you're talking with somebody who believes inherently different things than you, it is awkward. And we avoid that discomfort and that awkwardness for a very obvious reasons. What I would say is that every time you find yourself in a conversation with somebody who believes different things than you and you're talking about those things, or even if you're talking about like some of those worldview effects of those things, is that you are faced with something that you are not faced with when all you ever do is spend time with other believers. And it's this: how much do I really believe this? How much has it changed my life? How much has it changed my heart and my mind? Because I'm not going to get into I'm not going to have those conversations with people if I really don't believe it. And and so what I would say is, you know, I've known missionaries who spent a number of years in Japan, and Japan is a notoriously difficult mission field for a lot of different reasons. And they didn't see one person come to Christ. And never mind the fact that they were hugely discouraged by that, but like, tough to raise funds when you're not seeing people come to Christ, right? And I just remember the fact that when they came off the mission field, yes, they were battling with discouragement, but they believed the gospel so much more after that season.
That's
because
good.
Every single day was filled with reasons to abandon the gospel, and they chose to continue to follow Christ despite what the earthly circumstances were surrounding their life. So I would just encourage listeners, like, it is not easy. And being an evangelist, being a missionary, of which, you know, like I've mentioned now, it's like, that's not really my gifting. But I just find every time I walk away from conversations with people, even if there's no conversion, or even if it's really just kind of a surface level conversation, I walk away not only feeling better, but I feel like, you know what, Lord, I believe you more now than I did before that conversation, because I was given reasons to, like Peter the night of the crucifixion, say, no, I don't know him.
Yeah.
It would have been easier for me circumstantially to just not talk about spiritual things. But because I leaned into it, man, I feel like I'm closer to you now. And
so
it's a question of motivation. And then as far as tools go, I mean, we live in a world of tools. Like, we are the most blessed time and place in Christianity, tool-wise. I've already mentioned Jason George's, that 3D Gospel. One of my favorite books is by Tim Keller, the late Tim Keller. It's called Reason for God. I think that's a phenomenal book. I think that there's so many good apologists in the world who are putting content up on YouTube and all of that. I have, you know, our website, allthingsallpeople.org, has some resources there. And I have a couple books, one on Latter-day Saints and then one on neo-paganism and the occult. But I would just say to the listener, you know, who is around you that believes different things than you? And before you read a book, before you watch a YouTube video, go and just like do the hard thing of just saying, What do you think about all this? Like, hey, I was in church the other day. I tell people all the time that, like, it's funny to me how easy it is for us to quote our favorite movies to our friends, you know? Right. Or it's like, I remember when I was in high school, this sounds funny, this is a weird example, but like when I was in high school, it was the first time I tried Chipotle, like Chipotle burritos. And I became, I became an evangelist for Chipotle. Like for the next 2-3 years, every time I met somebody who had never had Chipotle, I was like, I'll buy you your first burrito, you know, and let's go. I got it, you know. And I just think, what is the reason that the thing that is most important about us as believers, we would say, is the thing that's most important about us is what God thinks about us and what we think about God and how we've given our lives over to him because of this confession with our mouth and belief in our heart that God raised Christ from the dead. Why is it not easy for us to talk about? And I just think it's because we're afraid and we're afraid of awkwardness. We're afraid of looking stupid. We're afraid of being made fun of. I would love to convince your listeners it's never going to be as bad as you think it is. Yeah. It's never going to be as awkward as you think it is. And if we walk around every single day trusting that there are people that we're bumping into at work, at the convenience store, at our kids' school's pickup line, who the Holy Spirit has been preparing to hear the gospel.
Yeah.
And if all you do is you begin to look for those people, Luke 10 says to look for persons of peace, people who are open to the messenger and the message.
That's good.
If you come up against somebody who the Holy Spirit has not been preparing to hear the message, that's fine. Just keep going. It's fine.
Yeah.
But what if every single day when you're in pickup line at school and you talk to the same mom and she seems to like you and she seems to want to have conversation with you and you've just been nervous about inviting them to church or asking them just spiritual questions, praying for them, and you've been avoiding that because you don't want to be awkward, you don't want to cause any sense of division. But what if the Holy Spirit has prepared her to hear the gospel? What opportunities are we missing? So I love tools. Our website's full of them. But just, man, go have a conversation with somebody today. And you can, and I tell people all the time, you can even tell them I sent, you know, like, hey, this guy that I listened to on this podcast said to just ask somebody what they think about Jesus, you know, and blame me. You know what I mean? It's like, I told you to do it. And if they give some tepid response, like, oh, I like Jesus, but I don't really go to church. I went to church when I was a kid and had a really bad experience. Like, oh, great. If you're ever willing to give it another shot, I have a great church that I go to, or I'd love to send you this sermon that I listened to that was really, really good. Or I listened to this podcast that talks with believers that I think you might like. And it doesn't need to be this zero sum game of like, if I don't do Romans Road the exact right way, then you know, it's all going to come apart. It can be like talking to your friend about your favorite TV show, your favorite restaurant, because it is our favorite thing. Following Christ is our favorite thing. And it's had the biggest effect on us of anything we've ever done. And so why would we be silent about it? And how long should you know somebody before they're introduced to the most important thing about you?
And
so it's like, we don't all need to be really trained evangelists. We just need to be Christ followers who are inviting people like that kid on the corner selling newspapers saying, hey, have you heard what happened? And then when they say no, or yeah, I've heard, but it didn't seem like that was that important. Like, oh no, let me tell you, you know? So I think it can be a lot more, it's a simple but not easy type thing, I know, but it's just more about seeing people the way God sees them and then meeting them where they're at. And then as best as you can, this is where the tools come into play. Put in the gospel in terms they can understand and then just seeing what happens. You know, most of them are going to say no or have a tepid response, but some of them won't. Some of them will be curious.
There could be the yes.
I literally guarantee it. If me and you found our way to Christ, they might too.
That's good. Jeremy, I learned so much from you. I am so grateful for your voice, not only in the online space, but just all the work that you do in all things, all people, and just bringing the gospel. So Jeremy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on Halfway to Sunday. We are so grateful for you.
Yeah. Thanks, Jill. It's an honor to be with you. And for listeners, if there's ever any way that I can serve them or All Things All People can serve them, feel free to find us, allthingsallpeople.org. You can find me on Instagram. And if you're ever curious about something, just shoot me a message and I'll do whatever I can to help you out.
Yes. Thank you, Jeremy. And friends, I hope that this episode is helpful and hopeful. I love that this episode is just another reminder to get curious. I feel like that theme keeps coming up for a reason. And I just pray that this is a way for you to get curious, but also stay so rooted in what you believe. I also love that Jeremy reminds us to not let fear drive the way we share our faith. If it's so important to us, it should be so easy to share. But we are going to end the way we end every episode with our benediction. God, thank you for your word. God, thank you for this day. God, thank you for leaving heaven to show us the way. Spirit, lead us today. Give us eyes to see the schemes of the evil one and the temptations birthed from our own choices. Show us opportunities for generosity and compassion to self and those around us. Father, soften our hearts and show us more of your love. Jesus, we trust you. Amen. Love you. Bye. Friends, I'm so glad you're here. I hope you leave each episode feeling loved and seen. Don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, would you share it with someone? And if you found this to be encouraging, empowering, or it equipped you in any way, would you leave a rating? That helps new friends find us and join our community, and we would love to hear from you. Finally, don't forget that you can join us on Instagram and TikTok at Halfway to Sunday. See you there.